gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
When's our next vacation?
6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What? The celebrity hotline today. Am I going to say it right? Representative Joe
Sestak.
Sestak, yes. He of the recent ass whipping of Sean Hannity, as I recall.
Yes.
He will be our guest on the celebrity hotline. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boyd. Voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Sanchez in Montebello did. Hola, ¿qué tal?
Sí.
He did, you know, the most popular question at the town hall? Of course, about the pot.
At the internet town hall.
About
yes.
the pot.
Yes.
About the Mary Jane.
Ay, Dios mío.
Exactly. All right.
Mike in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I have been known to twist and burn one once in a while. I'm wondering if I could be head of the Joint Chiefs.
Okay, can I just interrupt, Jared, before you ask the next question?
Dude.
Just to say that we took votes about which questions were going to be asked. And I think 3 million people voted, or 3.5 million people voted. I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high. Ranked fairly high.
Wow, I just got that.
And that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation.
Sadly.
And I don't know what this says about the online audience. But I just want... I don't want people to think that this was a fairly popular question. We want to make sure that it was answered. The answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So,
thank you for clearing that up.
Thank you, Sasha.
Wow. Do you have any Cheetos? Doritos, Tostitos.
All right. Oh, by the way, just in case someone else unwisely tries to rob a Taekwondo studio, the story we did yesterday, someone has sent us yet another Kung Fu sound effect. Good. Okay. Good. All right. We have that now. Is that the same duck fighting Chuck Norris that we had yesterday?
Yeah. That was mostly on the CD for, you know, for me. Wasn't, yeah.
I just like it. I'm just hoping. I'm just hoping that someone else robbed the Taekwondo studio.
With a duck?
With a duck, exactly. All right. You know, someone sent me Funstack because, why? Because it's about bacon. Bacon, what's the deal? Bacon has gotten to be the biggest thing in America.
Bacon
is the only industry that's doing well. I told you I have a friend, you know you live in Hollywood. I have a friend who's a vegetarian, except she eats bacon. She's technically a baketarian. I know. A baketarian. Is that... I don't know how that...
She doesn't have strongly rooted principles, does she?
A little squishy about the whole vegetarian thing, apparently. apparently there's baconographers. Did you know that? The industry of bacon has gotten to be so big, there's a baconographer. When it comes to bringing home the bacon, literally, that is, Americans are near professionals. Last year, Americans ate more than $2 billion worth of bacon. See, government doesn't have to take over the bacon industry.
You know what's good? Is if you bake bacon instead of frying it, and you slather it with maple syrup before you bake it. Oh my God, is that good.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Not a fan of the bacon myself.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No. Lisa Haas is a baconographer. Don't make the joke that you're thinking of, Jim. You just leave that. She told Good Morning America the pink product's popularity should not come as a surprise. It's inexpensive, it tastes great, and you can put it in anything. People just love it. Popular cookbooks are dedicated just to bacon. People have made clothes dedicated to the fried delight. There's even bacon toilet paper.
What?
I bet you Denny Hansard has some of that in his can. I'm just guessing.
Something for him to munch on while he's taking a deuce. What?
Okay. That's a little tribute to bacon.
Yes. Pork is also a verb. Just
thank you, Jim.
Clarify.
Thank you. Okay. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Can you not say taking a deuce on the air? I wasn't aware of that.
I was unacquainted with that expression.
Really?
Thank you for classing it off a little bit.
No problem. You could have said take a... But
okay. Yes. All right, then. TheSuperficial.com reporting that Angelina Jolie is giving money to the Octomom?
I doubt that. I really doubt that.
I don't. Angelina Jolie might be donating money to her creepy doppelganger, Octomom Nadia Suleman. According to Superficial.com, Angelina's worried about the best interests of the kids. She doesn't necessarily approve of Nadia, and she doesn't want to turn the situation into even more of a circus. Of course, a practical...
Well... Yeah.
Superficial.com writes, of course, a practical solution would be for Angelina to install a private Starbucks in Octomom's house so she'll spend more time with her brood. Because she's always at Starbucks when she's photographed.
Yeah.
Then again, that'll just end in Britney Spears crashing through the skylight. Which is probably true.
That's funny.
Britney Spears also photographed a lot at Starbucks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have Angelina Jolie on this, I believe.
Motherhood is sacred. It's the highest calling a woman can have. I've been more fulfilled being a mother to my brood than any amount of Hollywood fame and fortune could ever bring me. Well, more than the fame. The money's off the hook. So in keeping with my dual interests of serious dough and serious dilation, I've decided to give the Octomom a helping hand. My donation to her will cover food, neonatal care, clothing, and shelter costs so that she and her umpteen little rugrats don't have to sleep under a bridge somewhere. Yes, for all those things and one little ancillary indulgence. By that I mean, get some plastic surgery, for God's sakes. Yeah, I know you already did, to look like me. That's the damn problem. 20 years of glamour, social consciousness, good parenting, and all of a sudden, there you are, bogarting my lips and stealing my procreation mojo. Listen, honey, being a movie star isn't all it's cracked up to be. They're sweaty fans, and your husband, all on the same day. Hey, I'll confess to not being sure whose kids are whose entirely. I'm serious, you wouldn't like it. But if you're going to be a star, why don't you try Mary Tyler Moore? Please, just take the money already. Oh, let's see. I know. You can be Diana Ross. I know just the guy to ask about it. Michael Jackson, got a moment?
I don't want to talk to that woman. She's devilish and freaky. Look at those lips. They give me the heebie-jeebies. Who would want to talk to someone with a deformed face? Don't answer that.
Yeah.
And don't get me started on her area. Shamo!
Michael Jackson's voice is higher than Angelina Jolie's.
Yeah.
That's weird.
He's the only one, I believe, in the world that's had that special surgery that inhibits your ability to say area. Yeah. There's something happened around the lips there.
Any other error?
The muscles around the lips, you know, that...
Any other error?
Maybe he just studied under Barbara Walters.
Okay. I want to hear him say area rug sometime.
Any other error?
Rug. Okay. And finally, the headline is Liz Hurley and the Prince of Wales are launching a new range of healthy organic food.
What?
Huh?
Liz has an odd couple. Liz Hurley and the Prince of Wales. Prince
Liz
Charles.
Doesn't eat the food, but.
No. They're launching a new range of modern healthy organic food. Charles Sustainable Food Company is to use produce from the actress's 400-acre organic farm where she breeds pigs, cows, and chickens.
And where is it located? Oh, boy.
What part of England?
Gloucestershire, exactly. All right, we have
Gloucestershire.
Gosh, he knew I skipped that on purpose.
Yes.
In Gloucestershire, in the area, Gloucestershire. Okay, we have Liz Hurley's pig. What?
It's all well and good. That skinny bit of crumpet, Liz Hurley, is running an organic farm. At least we're not being shot up with him. Antibiotics and hormones and such. The feed is marginally better than what we had before at them factory farms. At least there's very little danger of finding bits of snouts and hooves of your former compatriots in the feed. We may be pigs, but we're not cannibals. And the accommodations are certainly better. No tiny pens. We're more or less free to roam about. You might say we're as happy as a pig in, well, you know. Still, there's no getting around the fact that we're all going to be the bee in someone's BLT someday, and it's a little comfort knowing that the mallets they use to bash our skulls in are made of organically sustainable, locally grown materials. At least during our short time on the planet, we're not plagued by hormone-induced bitch teats. We've been spared that indignity. Talking of which, do you know how to make an hormone? Don't pay her! Something the former Mr. Early, you grant knows something about.
Oh.
That's my time. Try the lamb of a year all week unless they turn me into sausage.
That's one of those Gloucestershire accents.
Yes, is it?
Well, it's more or less.
It's a British farmer's accent.
The West Country sort of thing like they do down there in Somerset.
No wonder he
have some cider.
No wonder he make me say it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we would appreciate his Gloucestershire.
It's close to that.
Accent. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Folderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. There's a banner ad for it on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. Buy the apple.
Are there any extras? Are there any other of Liz Hurley's farm animals?
Not so far.
No. You would think there would be some outtakes. You would think he maybe spitballed a cow or something else first, but no. All right. Dave in Chicago, thank you for calling Bacon Talk. Welcome. Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave. Dave. Dave going once.
How long do you bake the bacon for in the oven?
How long do you bake the bacon in the oven?
Until it's done, really.
Good answer. Part two is, I suppose, you know, the whole bacon thing. Obama did ask the automakers to bring home the bacon and gave them 60 days and 30 days, respectively. And finally, why would you want the name Hurley associated with any food?
All right, thank you.
That's how she keeps her girlish figure, I guess.
You are no emerald. What do you mean, till it's done?
Well, no, until it's not pink anymore. You know, I mean, how long do you fry bacon for?
I'm not a bacon fan. I actually tried to cook bacon for my nephew the other day, and they were just little charred. I had to give it a couple of attempts.
You burn everything in a frying pan.
I left it on too long, clearly. I misunderstood crispy. The instruction was crispy.
Also, when you bake bacon, it keeps it from curling up. It makes nice long strips
Welcome
of bacon.
Welcome to Bacon Bacon with Chris LaVoy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How the hell do we get off on these
bacon
things?
Bacon goes well with cheese. Oh, God, yes. Anything goes well with cheese. Are you kidding me?
Listen, we have important stuff to talk about.
What?
And that is the Saved by the Bell reunion.
Thank God.
Epic news. Apparently, don't let anybody tell you that they're not doing the important work in the late night television.
Okay. Yeah. What?
I was doing the Lord's work until I was, you know.
You're fired.
Yes.
What
anyway,
cast
Jimmy...
did you get reunited on your show?
See, that's probably why I got canned.
Exactly.
Because I did not reunite anybody. Jimmy Fallon, on the other hand, is trying to...
You could have reunited the cast of Room 222,
but
you didn't.
I probably could have. We could have booked Karen Valentine like that. That's about the level of celebrity we have.
I know.
All right. Jimmy Fallon, it's the 20th anniversary, of Saved by the Bell, and he's trying to reunite the cast on his show, which means Mario Lopez. Who else?
Elizabeth Berkley.
Elizabeth Berkley. Exactly.
Will she be licking a stripper pole?
I sure hope so. I actually did a radio show with her cousin.
Here's the toughest booking. Screech. How are you going to get Dustin Diamond?
Well,
how are you going to pry him away from the sex films? You can't. You can't. He's too busy.
Oof. Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yes, there you go. Hmm. There you go. All right.
Did any of those people appear on your late night talk show?
Let's reunite a cast on our show. You wanna? Let's pick one. We could do it.
My three sons.
Oh,
might be a bit late for that.
Well, no. The Courtship of Eddie's father. But Bill Bixby is no longer with us. So.
See, I would do it just for Mrs. Livingston.
Is Mrs. Livingston still alive?
Oh, come on, the worst Haitian stereotype ever in the history of television.
No, but she was actually Japanese.
Yeah.
I think that's the way she talks.
Yeah, that is the way she
Japanese
talks.
Japanese citizen.
Hurrah, Mr. Eddie's father.
No.
Oh, it was the greatest.
Okay. I don't think she ever said Mr. Eddie's father.
Yes, she did.
I don't think
that's something
so.
Something else I'm right about. Call now.
Have.
20 minutes after the hour, back with the Scotchmore Celebrity Stack, the president's automaker plan, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Henry in Fort Lauderdale. I'm former Senator Norm Coleman. Hello, Henry.
Hello there.
Hi.
It's the Stephanie Miller's official black Swede.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you going?
You know, that was a very painful story that you had to talk about yesterday about the guy who got his little John cut off.
Oh, yes. They accidentally cut his off, and he was denied compensation.
Listen, Senator Cornholio, John Cornyn, was talking about that if
yes,
should Norm Coleman lose the court case?
Yes.
He should go on and on and on for years.
Yeah, for years. How about that?
Okay, well, this is the perfect opportunity for Democrats to say, you know what, we've tried to reason with you idiots. Okay, now, the Senate, 51 votes, okay? 51 votes carry everything. Because this is ridiculous. Can you imagine if it was the Republicans?
Yeah.
To me,
Henry, that's even stupid to say just politically. Because that completely exposes that you don't give a flying about the people of Minnesota.
When do we get a backbone and say, you know what, enough is enough. Once the court rules, this man is sitting.
Yeah. I mean, that's so, like, naked politically. It's just like what you really, you hate Al Franken that much. And you care that little about the business of the American people.
They really do. Right is just apoplectic at the thought that Al Franken's going to be sitting in the Senate.
I know. I think it's that combined with the whole, you know, obviously the balance of power in the Senate. It's like saying, screw you,
they
America.
They want to use Bush v. Gore as, precedent. But when they specifically said, don't mention this case ever again.
Yeah. David Boies?
Boies.
Somebody had him on last night. And it's like he's going, this is the opposite of that, in that, like, now they've had a recount.
On the other foot.
They counted the votes. Al Franken won. This is the opposite of
right.
it. Okay. Mary in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Courtship of Eddie's Father. Hello, Mary.
Good morning, Stephanie. I just want you to know that I am in my early 50s, and I was so in love with Bill Bixby as a child.
Yes.
I wanted to be Mrs. Eddie's father.
Oh, well, who didn't? Did you want to be Mrs. Hulk, though? What did you do? Did you really test your love for Bill Bixby?
I have to say that it was my favorite Martian, and of course, Speedway with Elvis Presley and Sinatra. But
some people's love only goes so far. Everybody wanted to be Mrs. Eddie's father, and then a lot of people wanted to be Mrs. David Banner. But then when it got to the Hulk,
no hulking for me. But but Miyoshi Umeki, actually, I just saw not recently, passed away, and she was Mrs. Livingston. But she was also in Flower Drum Song. She wasn't
I know.
You know, she wasn't just
Mary. You know what this means, though. Another dream has died on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry.
So much for the reunion.
I just wanted to tell you that I am a proud person from Minneapolis who still has my Al Franken sign on my lawn, and I won't take it down until he's seated.
Thank you. Talk on. I imagine that gives many Republican passersby a headache in their eye.
Yeah.
28 minutes after the hour, right back with more Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Prepare to be knocked on your ass.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dreams just dying left and right here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to my life. No Mod Squad reunion. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah. Tig Andrews died in 2007.
No, who was Tig Andrews?
I don't know.
The white guy.
But no, that was Michael Cole.
Oh, yes. Oh, he's the black guy. He's Link.
No,
that's...
Or was he the leader?
And you must have been the...
I don't know. I never watched the Mod Squad.
All right.
The blog says that Tig Andrews died, and so there can't be a Mod Squad reunion.
Jimmy Fallon is trying to reunite the cast of Saved by the Bell, so we here at Stephanie Miller are just trying to, you know...
figure out who we could reunite.
Yes, exactly. Right on his coattails. And Love American Style, one of my personal favorites in the 70s. Can we do that?
Joanne Worley is still with us.
Oh!
She was just on O'Reilly.
We can steal the Rolodex from the Fox Celebrity Booking Department.
Yes.
Don't, never be said that we don't cover the important topics here on the Stephanie Miller Newscast. Up on your Twitter thing, your Twitter thing?
Yeah, yes, twitter.com/radioguychris.
Uh-huh.
I have posted the recipe for the maple baked bacon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have like ADD this morning, don't we? That's,
yeah, kind of.
Robin Inglewood, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Courtship of Eddie's Father as well. See? Now I've stuck it in your head.
Yeah, you just have to bring it up. Why the hell you have to bring it? Because I'm not going to have that damn theme song in my freaking head. Yeah.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
You talk about, I prefer to get Waterbird. I prefer to get Waterbird instead of hearing that damn song again.
Come on, sing it, Rob. You know you want to.
My up, my down, my pride and joy.
One more point. Maybe they should have a reunion with Moonlight with Bruce Willis and Silver Shepherd.
They're actually talking about that.
I hear they've kissed and made up.
Yes, and both of them have agreed to do it.
Aha, uh-huh. But in the meantime, Rob. Okay, Gary in Dallas, Texas, former Senator Norm Coleman. Hello, Gary.
Hey, great show.
Thank you.
I'm just so outraged I just really think, honestly, that this is probably, to me and my family, one of the biggest political stories of the year. It hasn't played out yet. Talk about a president not being able to have all his tools, in support of his agenda, having a United States Senator not being appointed yet, regardless of the political atmosphere there in Minnesota. I think it's a disgrace.
Yep.
And why CNN and Fox News, and Stephanie, I saw you on Larry King a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
You seem to be a little bit more passive than you are on the radio, but you look really great on Larry King.
Thank you. Well, you know why that is. I'm generally drunk, Gary, because it's cocktail hour.
You are a beautiful woman. I'm married, and I told my wife, I said, God, I didn't know she looked that good.
Why, Gary?
You are a gorgeous woman.
Oh, thank you, Gary.
I gotta tell you, we gotta get this. I mean, why CNN? Stephanie, is there anything you can do to try to get CNN and all, I don't care if it's Fox News, cover this story, the way it should be covered. I mean, this is.
Oh, yeah, I'll get right on that. I'll call Fox News immediately. I'm sure they'll cover. They cover the outrage that is the empty Minnesota Senate seat that I'm sure they so badly want Al Franken to fill. All right, Gary. Thank you, honey.
Bye-bye.
All right, honey.
You had a love connection.
Mm-hmm. I dare say love American style. Love American style.
I'm guessing Gary's wife maybe not so down with that.
No. He says no.
Okay. All right. Call Fox News. I'm sure they're really concerned about the American people and why there's a missing senator and all.
Yeah, Neil Cavuto covers it every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's finish up our celebrity stack. Madonna's plans to steal another child from its parents. Oh, has been blocked by an angry grandmother, who I'm guessing is a fan of the Stephanie Miller Newscast. I think she's listening on the internet in Malawi.
Yeah, because Wi-Fi is so prevalent in Malawi.
The grandmother of Malawi girl Madonna wants to adopt has accused the singer of stealing children. Where would she have heard that?
Stephanie Miller.
Okay. And has promised to go.
Maybe she subscribes to the Stephcast.
Only $4.95 a month, which is a good deal even in Malawi.
Food or the Stephcast?
Or the Stephcast.
Rethatch my hut or buy the Stephcast? I'd go with the Stephcast. How much thatch do you need?
I beg your pardon?
Okay. Madonna has brought a 19-month campaign to adopt Mercy James, 4 years old. However, the girl's grandmother has said she will resist the move and claims an agreement with the orphanage means she will keep Mercy once she turns 6. She says, why doesn't the singer pick other children? It is stealing. I want to go to court and I won't let her go. So I guess that has been put on hold for now. The whole. Madonna has hit out at critics.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm guessing she probably also gets the Stephcast only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. She has slammed critics who have slammed her bid to adopt the Malawian orphan, insisting it is none of their business. Well, it is my business if it's in the celebrity stack. And
that's right.
I'm just saying.
If it hits the tabloids, it's our business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Keith Richards almost canceled a concert because of shepherd's pie, Jim. A shepherd's pie. How would you ever know what he's ordering?
Yeah,
I think he probably just got shepherd's pie because it sounded like that. at some point.
Yeah, he meant to order Chateaubriand. Yeah, Shepherd's pie.
Whatever. What?
Beg your pardon?
What?
Say again.
What? Here's the apparently one of the only Rolling Stone rules. You do not touch Keith Richards' shepherd pie.
Hmm.
Keith Richards almost canceled the concert because of a shepherd's pie. The former drummer Stuart Cable, he was amazed when the band's frontman, Mick Jagger, warned him that he was in trouble for helping himself to a portion of
Exactly. You touch Keith Shepherd's pie. Hey, touch Keith Shepherd's pie!
Before Keith had eaten. That is the rule.
Have you ever had shepherd's pie? It's disgusting.
It's a mashed potato thing.
It's like lamb.
It's certainly no bacon.
It's like lamb stew with a crust of mashed potatoes on top.
Mick said, do you know the rules? You never, ever take the shepherd's pie unless Keith has broken the crust first.
Someone said mattress to Mr. Lambert.
Desperate to avoid a disaster, Stuart was ordered to take the pie back to the canteen to be recrusted. Can you do that?
Apparently. Well with if the crust is mashed potatoes, so yes, it's not like a pastry crust.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can recrust it.
Desperate to avoid a disaster, he took it back. Despite his attempts to conceal the pilfered pie, Stuart was confronted by Keith after the show. How creepy is this? Later that night, he said, Keith wandered over me, a joint dangling on the edge of his lips, and he whispered, you ate my shepherd's pie, didn't you?
Shepherd's pie. Sorry. Come again.
Can you imagine just marijuana smoke from Keith Richards in your face? You ate my shepherd's pie.
Yeah, and if you have enough speech, even shepherd's pie is good.
Wow. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hello, Lavender.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I'm listening to you ponder Madonna's adoption dilemma, and I can't help but wonder if there is a correlation between her and the evil child-stealing other mother's sticks and needles pin figure from the movie Coraline last month.
You don't know what Coraline is,
no,
do you,
I have
Stephanie?
No idea what she's talking about.
So.
What are you talking about?
It's a movie about an evil sticks and pin figure who goes around stealing other people's children.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, is it art imitating life or just celebrity imitating stupidity? I can't tell.
I don't know. All right. Thank you, Lavender. Hey, did you know there's an Afghanistan American Idol?
Yeah.
Afghan star. Runs on a similar format to the popular U.S. American Idol show. Under Taliban rule, music was banned in Afghanistan entirely. Now an estimated one-third of Afghanistan watches the show on a weekly basis, texting in their votes for their favorite contestants.
And Ryan Seacrest works on that one, too.
Exactly.
He never sleeps.
I wonder if Osama's still in his cave texting. I'm guessing whoever sings B-52s probably wins from the Osama. He likes to dance that mess around, apparently.
He certainly does.
That was karaoke cruise ship. Terrible.
He's a B-52 fan.
And Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Weird. He would like to dance around a love shack with Whitney Houston, apparently.
Tin roof rusted. Oh, no, I gave away my location.
All right, 42 minutes after the hour, right back with the President's Automaker Plan and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Could you whip out your tiny violin, please, Chris? This is how bad things have gotten, Jim, in the economy. Elton John, you know, he's known for his lavish parties.
Mm-hmm.
He had his birthday party at the Hamburger Hamlet.
Oh. Oh.
On Sunset.
That's still open?
Apparently. Who knew?
Okay.
Just for special events and parties.
Wow. Elton John, cutting back due to the economic crisis, a few years ago he would have had his party at a five-star hotel, as he usually does. His celebration this year, he rented out the Hamburger Hamlet. Ooh, the whole thing? He rented out the whole Hamburger Hamlet. Let's see. Who was there? Joan Collins.
Oh, no, of course.
Jackie Bissett.
Jacqueline
Bissett. Jacqueline Bissett.
Oh, okay. Yeah. RuPaul.
Okay.
Chastity Bono. And that was that's pretty much it. An eclectic little mix, isn't it?
He can attract a better caliber of star than that, can he?
And apparently he's getting Star Cruncher exercise equipment for his birthday.
Oh, well then. It's not like it was a total loss. Okay. Wow, the president became Cal Worthington yesterday. Did you see that? Maybe that's a Southern California reference, but he was the car salesman guy.
Eat a bug to get you a better deal.
Did he actually say he'd eat a bug?
I don't think so.
That'd be funny if you rode on an elephant like Cal Worthington.
And said it was his dog Spot.
This is my dog Spot.
Ah!
Do I have a deal for you? Yes.
He's a rescue.
Barack Obama made the car companies his biatches. That's it's a technical financial term, yesterday. He asserted unprecedented government control of the auto industry yesterday, bluntly rejecting turnaround plans by GM and Chrysler, demanding fresh concessions for long-term federal aid and raising the possibility of a quick bankruptcy for either ailing auto giant. Now, who told us? Oh, the Center for American Progress, Jennifer Palmieri, told us that yesterday about the forcing, what do you call it, Chrysler to merge with Fiat. Who even? I didn't even know Fiat still existed.
That makes it a not American company anymore, doesn't it?
All I know is, as I said yesterday, a Fiat, I think, technically can fit in the glove compartment of a Chrysler. They're very, very, they're little, like little matchbox cars. Obama took the extraordinary step of announcing the government will back new car warranties. That was the Cal Worthington part issued by both GM and Chrysler. Because people are afraid if they go bankrupt, then you know their car, blah blah. An attempt to reassure customers that their U.S. made purchases will be protected if the companies don't survive. He said, "I'm absolutely committed to working with Congress and the auto companies to meet one goal: the United States of America will lead the world in building the next generation of cars." So Chrysler does the Fiat thing. GM got assurances of 60 days worth of federal financing to try and revise its turnaround plan under new management. Rick Wagner.
You're fired.
Yes.
But they did not take
my
advice.
He's not been replaced by Lyle Wagner.
No. Can you believe that? Lyle Wagner, a wildly successful businessman here in Los Angeles, and dreamy.
But will the president's plan provide undercoating and extended warranty?
Rick Wagner is still getting a huge retirement package.
We'll get to that later. They hired instead Fritz Henderson.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah.
See, and right away, I'm going to say Florence Henderson. I think Florence. I've worked with Florence Henderson. I know Florence Henderson. She is awesome. She ran that Brady Bunch like nobody's business.
She could bring some Wessonality to the company.
Exactly.
The Hendersons will all be there.
Okay.
What a scene.
So the administration basically fired Wagner. So here's the problem. I understand the bailout fatigue. I think we all have it, but it does seem like there's a double standard here, and now they're dealing with the auto companies and how they dealt with the banks. And
there is a very much a double standard. Why aren't some of these bank CEOs gone?
Yeah.
Why couldn't we mandate that?
Because they've got us over a barrel. They say, okay, you want to fire me? See what that gets you.
Banks collapse the world economy.
We talked about this yesterday.
How that works out for you.
How come the union contracts are not quite so sacrosanct as those AIG bonuses that we had to pay? But what you just said, Jim, is that's what economists are saying. The banking sector is much more important to the economy right now. We're suffering bailout fatigue. These factors could give Obama more leeway to be tough on the auto industry. As shocking as it would be to see a corporate icon like General Motors file for bankruptcy, it would do less damage to the overall economy than would the collapse of another major financial institution, according to several economists. So that's...
Banks should never have been allowed to get so big that they could take down the entire world economy by their failure.
Unfortunately, a lot of Democrats voted for the repeal of Glass-Steagall, and Bill Clinton signed it.
Yep. David in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the auto industry. Hey, David.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
I really love your show.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, I want to talk about this auto company bailout. I'm a retired Chrysler worker, and I can't understand why the government's doing this to the big three. You know, they're the ones that put them in this position in the first place. I mean, they took all the regulations away from the banks, and they put them all on the auto companies. You know, they told them, well, you need seat belts, you need shoulder harnesses, catalytic converters, collapsible steering columns, headrests, airbags. You got to pass emission standards. You got to pass crash standards, mileage standards. And then they got all these bad trade deals, you know, where the playing field isn't level. I mean, the government did this to them in the first place. They put all the regulations on the auto companies, took them all off the banks. Now, all these foreign companies, their governments, you know, subsidize them. Tell them, oh, if you can sell cars in America, here's some more money, you know, because you're bringing all that money back to their country.
Mm-hmm.
But here, the government plays all these restrictions on the big three and then don't give them a dime to accomplish any of it.
What kind of restrictions are you talking about?
I'm talking about, like, all the stuff they made them do on the cars, like shoulder harnesses, catalytic converters, emission standards, crash tests, mileage
That's
tests,
all
airbags,
stuff,
side airbags, headrests. It goes on and on.
They haven't required side airbags.
Sure they have.
No, they haven't. The auto companies did it by themselves. The only thing that's required is a front airbag.
Okay. Well, I'll give you that on side airbags. But all the other stuff I mentioned is required.
Yeah. David, to get back on your side,
I could go on and on.
To get back on your side, I would like to tell you that my dad had a Chrysler LeBaron in the 70s, and it was a delightful car, and I thank you for that.
And it could seat nine comfortably, I'm sure.
It was as big as a whale.
Yeah.
They used to have a lot of...
Clear. Clear. All right, David. Thanks. Yikes. All right, let's go.
A lot of the things he was mentioning are important.
Yeah.
Important safety and emissions things that
and
we need.
You make better cars when you have restrictions, when you have things that need to be accomplished like that. More fuel efficient, less polluting. I mean, the air in Los Angeles is so much better since catalytic converters.
Listen, we got along just fine with our mom's arm in the 70s with a cigarette in it.
Yeah, except for people who got killed.
No, you remember how, like, you would turn in the car whenever your dad sold it? The seatbelts were still just, like, brand new.
Yeah.
They'd never been used. They were just on the... You didn't even know where they were. They were like, oh, is that where that was all this time?
And cigarette burns in the vinyl didn't count against normal wear and tear because that was just expected.
And we were saying probably more people died from having the windows rolled up and your mom's, like, Aquanet and smoke in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the president yesterday...
After broad consultation with a range of industry experts and financial advisors, I'm absolutely confident that GM can rise again, providing that it undergoes a fundamental restructuring. As an initial step, GM is announcing today that Rick Wagoner is stepping aside as chairman and CEO. This is not meant as a condemnation of Mr. Wagoner, who's devoted his life to this company and has had a distinguished career. Rather, it's a recognition that we'll take new vision and new direction to create the GM of the future.
All right, let's get back to the important people's business, and that is the TV show reunions. Jaime in San Francisco on the TV reunion you'd like to see. Hello, Jaime.
Hey, Stephanie. Yeah, I was just thinking, how about the T.J. Hooker with William Shatner?
Heather
Locklear.
Thomas.
Was it Locklear or Thomas?
Thomas or Heather, or Locklear.
I think it was Locklear. Well,
I think it was Locklear.
It was Heather Locklear. Yeah.
Which Heather?
Yeah.
And were either of them in the movie Heathers?
No.
All right.
Confused says no.
Are you sure it was Locklear?
It was. Yes.
Okay.
Heather Thomas was in The Fall Guy, wasn't she?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
She's a big political activist now.
Yes.
I've been invited to soirees. But,
have you gone?
No, I haven't.
Heather Locklear is a Republican, I believe.
Oh, so. There you go. John in Asheville, North Carolina on TV reunions. Hello, John.
No, I've got a great mix between, Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh.
Harry Reid and the Hendersons.
Yes, I remember that one. That's a really odd reunion to want to see, John.
John Lithgow is still alive.
You're an odd little man.
Yeah.
All right. If I could have one dream, it would be to have Harry and the Hendersons reunion.
I remember promoting that show when I was a tour guide at Universal.
Oh, boy.
I hadn't heard that.
Oh, I want to hear Jim Ward, tour guide at Universal Stories, when we come back. That's stand-up news and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, you're right, the new GM for the new GM CEO. He looks like a Sopranos character.
Looks a little creepy. It's a little creepy.
He looks like a Sopranos character, or he should be played by Frank Gorshin. Or maybe he is being played by Frank Gorshin.
Frank Gorshin's dead.
Oh, all right.
God, everybody we mentioned has been dead this morning.
All right, hey.
Oh, he's just, oh. Actually, Jack Nicholson could have played him about 20 years ago.
You're right. He looks like Jack Nicholson in The Witches of Eastwick.
Right.
All right, let's, by the way, you know, what you call it, Jimmy Fallon is trying to reunite the cast of Saved by the Bell. So we've been trying to figure out, like, what shows to reunite here on the Stephanie Miller Show, and Meryl in Miami has a bully idea. Hello, Meryl.
Hi, Steph. First of all, can I be the official traffic ticket defense attorney of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And the show that I think everyone would like to see, except maybe you, is the nighttime Stephanie Miller Show reunion.
The Stephanie Miller Late Night Show reunion, and who wouldn't? Why wouldn't there be a hue and cry for that?
What cast was there to reunite?
Thank you, Meryl. Actually, the survivors of the Stephanie Miller late night disaster have gone on to much bigger things. Carlos Saul's Rocky.
Was he on your late night show?
Yes,
I
he was
no
one of
idea.
My sketch players, and now he's a much...
You had a sketch team?
Much, yes.
Much more successful than me. Okay.
Well, who else was in your sketch team?
Karen,
Valentine?
Mariama. No, not Karen Valentine.
No. Yeah, she used to be a tour guide as well, I believe.
Karen Mariama?
I think
she's
she
hilarious.
Was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of her. Shirts.
Jim Ward was a tour guide at Universal Studios.
Yes. And someone sent me some pictures from 1983.
You were hot.
I was, yeah.
You
look
like James Dean.
Was. I should be dead now.
You had that feathered zipper head, you know?
He did. He looks like, what's his name?
Pounds ago.
Who am I thinking of? Rick Springfield? Rick, you look like one of those 80s rock star guys.
With the part right down the middle of the head.
No. No, it wasn't. It was on the side.
Okay.
All right. You know, the economy still sucks, and so every day we find a fun stack. Someone who had a worse day than you did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Brazil doctors remove spear from man's head.
Oh.
He had an actual arrow through his head, not the comedy prop, and he shot
spear, it. Not just an arrow.
It's spear, but he shot it himself. Apparently, he fired the spear, which ricocheted off
Maybe
rocks.
Maybe it's a mistranslation from Portuguese. Maybe they meant arrow.
Well, it ricocheted off rocks and then penetrated his own head so deeply that the tip was showing. So it really was like a comedy prop, arrow through the head, but it was an actual, he fired an actual arrow through his own head.
Oh, God.
He's
Steve Martin
now.
Didn't have that kind of commitment. He just used a
See?
Fake one.
Yeah, he's not a method actor. It's a fake plastic one. Okay, here is a woman more pathetic than me, but a woman after my own heart. Woman misused the 911 system, called 3 times to tell dispatchers that a roommate was trying to take beer away from her.
Beer.
If you need an example of why drinking and dialing isn't a joke and can lead to serious repercussions, consider the case of Yvonne Cavett. Tampa police say she was the woman who misused the 911 system Wednesday. Listen, people, don't misuse the 911 system. We have nothing but time for idiots to call here. Please call us.
Yes.
We have nothing but time.
My roommate says, look at my beer.
I'll take that call. Here's the partial transcript.
Yeah, we'll be moron star for the... Bogus 911 calls.
The partial transcript. Dispatcher, what's the problem right now? Domestic violence. Dispatcher, what's going on? Okay, there's an argument going out of control. Dispatcher, what are you arguing about? Beer. I'm totally...
Oh, no.
I'm embarrassed to say that, but yeah, it's about beer. Officers went to the apartment at 2:35 a.m. Nothing good ever comes from phone calls after 2 a.m. We know that.
Right, or drinking games with brown liquor.
Or, in this case, beer.
Yes.
And found Cavett drinking from a 40-ounce bottle of Bud Light and an unidentified man sitting with her. Cavett told police that she had drunk six 16-ounce cans of beers, but she wasn't finished drinking.
If you're going to have 40 ounces of Bud Light, why not just have 20 ounces of regular Bud?
Counterintuitive, exactly.
Oh, what is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
How we really love it.
Beer!
Makes me think I'm a man.
Yes.
Beer! I could kiss and hug it.
Beer!
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer!
Got my belly out to here.
Beer!
I could not refuse it.
Beer!
I could really use a beer.
Beer! Beer!
Beer. Okay, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go!
Yippee! Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. And news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story. You know, I didn't think it was possible for Grampy McSame to get grumpier than during the election, but he's done it. Grampy McSame. Oh, dear. He said President Obama is hell-bent on aiding and abetting an unconscionable generational theft. He said in an address to the Heritage Foundation, making it clear he thought the country would be much better off if he'd been elected president, the grumpy old man said.
Here with a commentary is a grumpy old man. Welcome.
John McCain.
I'm old and I'm not happy. Everything today is improved and I don't like it. I hate it.
To encourage a country with only rhetoric rather than sound and proven ideas is not a promise of hope. It's a platitude.
Today, everybody's feeling good about themselves. I hate it.
The old man.
By the way, he and his little friend George Bush, they are the party that gave us the $1.3 trillion deficit.
Yep.
He now says the nation would be bankrupt and our children and grandchildren would inherit for the first time in our history a land of limited opportunities. Elections have consequences, he said, and those consequences we are seeing now on full display. See, things would have been so much better if we had only elected him and continued to do the exact same thing that got us into this mess. You see his point.
Yes.
The rest of Grampy's thoughts here.
Now hear this. My friends, as the disaster that is the Obama administration goes into its third month, it's clear we're all going to have to go on double rations of bilge juice just to get through it week by week. The president is so obviously a bent can unsat sailor that I believe it's time to draw up articles of impeachment and give the man his big chicken dinner. He promised bipartisanship, he promised to pass a budget that works, and he promised us all a pony. And what did we get? Boop diddly. As an example of just what a cloosh his administration has become, he has drastically restricted the quality of opportunity that our children will enjoy. Yes, instead of foisting vast quantities of monkey money on the financial system in order to flim-flam the rubes and rake in vast quantities of scratch without ever having to make anything or do anything useful, our children will be forced to actually produce something practical and desired by the society at large. Now, if that isn't blowing the dirt, I don't know what is. Is that change we can believe in, my friends? Well, change is all I'm going to have left if Obama keeps dirty-ing my investment strategy.
Oh.
It's time that goat rope foobar executed an emergency blow. Bolter, bolter, Bohica time. Eject, eject, eject.
Bohica is like foobar. And
okay.
Oh, snap, sure, yes.
Bend over, here it comes again.
Oh, hello.
Oh,
now.
Dear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And finally, a bull semen has been stolen from a Canadian farm.
Beg pardon?
Bull sex is what? Bull sex is what in this case?
Yes. Ah! Hey.
Okay.
Yeah,
in
that's pretty much the whole bit right there. It's
good. Right.
Oh, sorry.
Well, bye, Jim.
No, no, no.
Thanks for coming.
I'm just saying. Yeah, don't.
Okay.
Don't say anymore. Yeah. No, 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 sorry.
In Duncan, British Columbia, a nitrogen tank full of bull semen was stolen from a Canadian farmer.
Why was bull semen being kept in a nitrogen tank?
You know, I don't really...
Those wacky Canadians.
No, but we have
And how
some...
did he get them all to... in... never mind.
All right, thank you, Jim. We have some guy.
Good day, eh? I'm Sergeant Ron Webb of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I'm here to warn you about a horrific crime spree that's taking place. Some hooligans have stolen a large quantity of... Wait, this must be a misprint. This word looks like bull semen. That can't be right. I mean, if it had been like a tank of Molson's, I could see how it would be a problem, but this is a joke, right? Ashton Kutcher's going to take a break from sectioning up Demi Moore to tell me I've been punked, right? Or in this case, spunked.
No, you see.
Spunked. Okay, sorry for wasting your time, eh? This whole press conference has been like a load of bull, eh? But in this case, see the perpetrators... They are to be considered armed and extremely sticky, eh? Don't bother turning them in unless you're wearing a hazmat suit. Just laugh at them hard, eh? Good day, eh?
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward.
Check out Jim Ward's apocryphal but true, for which there is a banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website, mm-hmm. stephaniemiller.com. Mm-hmm. Look into it.
Mm-hmm. Dev on in Seattle on TV show Reunions. Hi, Dev.
Hi, Mom.
Hello. I love you.
Love the Mooks, too. Mm. Hey, got two real quick. Love Boat, and then I'd like to sing my last one. Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. Hey, Tim, love your work. Bye.
Okay.
And
I
can take
right.
or leave it if I please.
Wow, choose. Someone that's drunker than us this morning. Okay, let's move on. You okay?
Sorry.
Oh, Senator Bob Corker, Republican of Tennessee, said of Obama's auto bailout plan, "This is a marked departure from the past, truly breathtaking, and would send a chill through all Americans who believe in free enterprise."
Whatever.
Trying to save free enterprise here.
Yeah. Like, once again, like the president wanted this to do this.
Let me be clear. The United States government has no interest in running GM. We have no intention of running GM.
Yeah, like when he came in, he's like, gee, I hope I'm going to have to spend billions of dollars to get us out of this hole that George Bush dug. And gee, I hope that I get to run every company in the... Dear God. Okay. And by the way, there is precedent, isn't there, Jim? And, remember when Ronald Reagan, what do you call it? And that was all about busting the union, the air traffic controllers. All right. In this case, I think the president, I mean, whether you agree with it or not, he's trying to long-term save jobs. He acknowledged that yesterday, that obviously how hard hit Michigan has been. Anyway, so the president...
What I'm not talking about is a process where a company is simply broken up, sold off, and no longer exists.
Yeah, because that wouldn't serve anybody any good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So he talked about the difference between Chrysler and
GM. While Chrysler and GM are very different companies, with very different paths forward. Both need a fresh start to implement the restructuring plan they develop. That may mean using our bankruptcy code as a mechanism to help them restructure quickly and emerge stronger.
I'm thinking that bankruptcy might be good.
Yeah, but then all those people lose their jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. But what do they have? 60 days? That does seem like I'm not sure how that's gonna happen. But best of luck to you.
Yeah.
Okay, the president on.
If you buy a car from Chrysler or General Motors,
I'll eat a bug.
You will be able to get your car serviced and repaired just like always. Your warranty will be safe. In fact, it will be safer than it's ever been because starting today, the United States government will stand behind your warranty.
As will my dog Spot.
How hilarious would that have been, though, if he had had the boner come out and offer you the extended warranty and the undercoating?
Extended warranty. The undercoating. It should be at the top of your list.
Yes, and John Boner starts blubbering if you don't buy the extended warranty.
You don't buy the extended warranty. Your car's going to burst into flames.
And then he throws the warranty down on the floor.
Exactly.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope. We don't have time to do that.
See? This is a time we could use a good drama queen like John Boner.
And a good used car salesman.
We should have him throw down the warranties and then start blubbering if you don't buy the extended warranty and the undercoating. Come on, Mr. President, I'm just saying. Finally, a use for the boner. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more on the automaker plan and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's more, not so much a show this morning as just a collection of random thoughts and oddities. Carrie, for instance, writes, "Steph, you should reunite the cast of Wings. I'm sure Stephen Weber would come back if you act all slutty." Carrie, that's a good idea. Stephen Weber's been on the show, except that I keep calling him Tim Weber.
Right. You got to get the names right.
Yeah. Then he probably would do it.
And you were in London the time he was in studio.
Wait, and wasn't my friend Amy Asbeck was on that? I can call her. I think I could do that. I could do the Wings reunion on this show. All right.
Who else was on that show?
I don't remember.
Tony Shalhoub.
Yes,
Tony Shalhoub.
Yes, Monk. Okay. In the meantime, it's Christopher Walken's 66th birthday, and
that's
now
right.
Here is Jim Ward to read Twitter.com Christopher Walken page.
Dining on gazpacho, or as the Portuguese say, gazpacho. Almost time for lunch. I'm feeling like a sandwich. Oh, baby, carbs en masse. I think I'll step up for a Jamba Juice. So many flavors. Razzmatazz. Berry pizzazz.
Last night I dreamt of puppies and the soft darkness that hides the future from the overcurious. All right, one for the road, and then bed. But first, a cookie. Oatmeal.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Yeah, that's, I don't know, that was very random.
If you'd like to follow
Walken tweeting.
It's twitter.com/Walken20.
Wow.
Yeah, seriously.
Music, it's nice. CBS needs more cowbell. Wow. I just started a blog.
Oh, boy. All right. I'm not sure blogging and tweeting is for everybody.
No.
Okay. So the president announced his auto plan yesterday. By the way, his remarks were prompted by the expiration of a temporary bailout approved by the Bush administration last winter. As you'll recall, Bush avoided the industry collapse on his watch, yet deferred the most difficult decision for his predecessor.
Yeah.
Isn't that tricky?
Mm-hmm.
He left a little exploding cherry bomb there. For... so that, yeah.
Hey, I like them apples. You want to be president? Here you go. Enjoy your meltdown. Not my fault.
Mm. By the way, did you hear Dick Cheney was talking smack about Obama to Israel? Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was nice. Yeah, just trying to muck up the warps over there for Obama. That's patriotic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the president yesterday.
Fleet modernization programs, which provide a generous credit to consumers who turn in old, less fuel-efficient cars and purchase cleaner cars, have been successful in boosting auto sales in a number of European countries.
Oh, see, socialism again, that European socialism.
Whatever.
I think that's a good idea. I think that's a very good idea.
Yes.
By the by, so Dick Cheney, did you also say that he said he told, what's his name, the guy in Israel,
Netanyahu,
that Barack Obama would never, he'd never make it in the big leagues?
Yeah.
Unlike
Thanks.
His, he'd never make it in the majors, apparently, like his boss, George
Bush. Why isn't
the
guy in prison?
Yeah.
Long
he'd never,
Grove.
Yeah. He could never hope to achieve George Bush's stature. Okay.
He also said there'll be another terrorist attack on Obama's watch. How do you know that, Dick?
Interesting. All right.
Another catalyzing catastrophic Pearl Harbor-like event?
Mm-hmm. All right. The president yesterday...
We cannot and must not, and we will not, let our auto industry simply vanish.
All right. He says the federal government is willing to offer several incentives to get Americans to buy more U.S.-made cars. He said the IRS will start notifying consumers who purchase cars after February 16th. They can deduct the cost of any sales and excise taxes.
Cool.
Thank you. And then the fuel-efficient thing that he just talked about. And also, he will eat a bug. He will eat a bug. And
you'll eat a bug to make you a better deal.
I honestly think he should do one of those car commercials. Because he's popular. People would buy anything from him. All right. Representative Joe Sestak, next on the President's Afghanistan Plan and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have a call for you. Are you ready for the call? I'm putting you through.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You know, as I often say on this show, pretty much everything, every issue facing America, above my pay grade. Not really. That's the whole point of radio. You're not really an expert on anything of any kind.
Hmm.
For instance, the president's Afghanistan plan.
Yes.
Don't know. However, if only there were some, I don't know, former three-star admiral and highest-ranking former military officer ever elected to Congress, someone like that might... Why, who is it, Chris?
It's Representative Joe Sestak from the great state of Pennsylvania, or Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
That's the guy.
Yes.
Good morning, Congressman.
Stephanie, good to be aboard again.
Aye, aye, Captain. You also, of course, Director of Defense Policy under Bill Clinton, so you know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Well,
about military policy.
I've enjoyed my job. Let's say it that way.
Now, I know that Secretary of State Clinton has recently said that we have stopped using the phrase war on terror, which I couldn't be happier about. Your thoughts
right.
on that?
I think she's absolutely right. You know, we shouldn't have characterized this as a war. Is it a challenge? You bet it is. But, you know, the instruments of our power that are going to win this battle, or whatever you want to call it, isn't the military. We're going to stop some problems. But eventually, as President Obama has emphasized in his new strategy, it's the developmental assistance. It's getting an economy going again. It's the ability to help people be educated so they have an opportunity in life that eventually isn't going to permit you to have beds of seeds out there that could sprout because of the poverty, etc., into terrorists. And that's what I think is the real positive change in his strategy. Tough to do, but
well,
it's needed.
You know, first of all, you know, I'm sure you've heard it said that the terrorists couldn't have done a better job than we did on ruining our economy, first of all. But, you know, second of all, like, just the phrase war on terror implies you can't have a war on an ideology, can you? And the word war, terrorism is never going to be over, is it? So, I mean, it means it'll go on forever, I guess.
That's great. That's a great point. This is something where it is truly about the hearts and the minds, and it isn't about a war in someone's minds. It's about a positiveness of saying, look, we can have common goals of peace and prosperity. We may differ on our beliefs in certain areas, but it doesn't mean we have to be at war. And so I think that his thrust, this more general approach of a strategy of engagement with the power of our ideals, which have atrophied over the past years. Look, when I had to buy battle group off of Afghanistan, I had 30 ships. 20 of them were non-U.S. I had a Japanese admiral working for me. So, I had forces from Spain and Portugal. When I had to take that battle group out of the Indian Ocean to go towards what we thought would be the running start to the Iraq War, only Australians and British came with us. Right then I said, uh-oh, this isn't going to go well. We don't have the world with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's exactly the point, isn't it, is that you can't win a, if you even call it a war on terror, with just military power. You need the world's cooperation. You need intelligence, right?
And that last phrase you just said is absolutely key, intelligence. We need the cooperation of other nations because those terrorists are over there, and they can tell us what happens. The most daunting words that have happened about this Afghanistan is when a year ago, General Hayden, head of the CIA, said, Al-Qaeda has a safe haven in Pakistan, in a sovereign country that we want to work with. Right then you knew you couldn't be marching into the country and taking down that safe haven ourselves. So cooperation, collaboration with others, and accepting that we aren't going to agree on many things, and not just dictating to them, is so critical to winning what we have to win, which is a peace in this world.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us, Congressman, a little more about the president's plan, because this is what he has consistently said, and I think that we all know, is we took our eye off the ball in Afghanistan to go into Iraq. We didn't finish the job, and now what?
I think he had four very good points, and if I do, there's two that I'd like to see a bit more of. First of all, he's absolutely right. This is about Al-Qaeda. The Al-Qaeda that can strike us if they're left in a safe haven to quietly plan. So he got that right, which means it's really about Pakistan, not Afghanistan. But second, he recognized that Afghanistan has to have a modicum of peace there. It's almost like a base in which we want to leave stability behind, but we're principally focused on Al-Qaeda that's in Pakistan. Third, and I think people have missed this, is he talked about Iran, bringing them into the compact group. When General Eikenberry left being the head U.S. commander there 2.5 years ago, I asked him, and by the way, he's going to become our ambassador there, does Iran work towards our common interest in Afghanistan? He said they do, for a different purpose, but they have the same interest, which is stability, and they've put $500 million towards infrastructure. Second is they don't want the Sunni Al-Qaeda there. So even though we may differ, we can work towards common interests. And finally, U.S. leadership. I get tired of us pointing the finger at NATO and saying, throw more men and women over there. Wait a moment. We got struck. We should be able to attract them, not force them to help us. But I will say this, Stephanie. There's two issues I want to see more of. We need more transparency of how we're going to approach our strategy in Pakistan. I say that because, and maybe we can't because some of it's covert, but I say that because this country is now in a second war in Afghanistan of long length. And once this nation needs to have benchmarks. It needs to know that this very important interest, it's not a vital interest in terms of our immediate day-to-day survival, but the well-being of our nation and the character of the world in which we want to live is going to be changed if we don't eventually succeed. And so this country, of the amount of resources that it's going to take, needs benchmarks if there's a commensurate benefit from us. And we were told in a closed hearing to expect that, but not until 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
I think those benchmarks is important because Americans want accountability, which has been absent for too long.
Well, and, you know, I think the Bush administration strategy, I don't know if you saw this, former State Department lawyer told the Associated Press that the Bush administration essentially panicked after 9/11 and tortured prisoners. He's at least the second insider to publicly describe the torture at Guantanamo. He said it was one of the worst overreactions of the Bush administration, which, of course, only made it our war on terror tougher, didn't it?
Without a question. I've been around this world, and while we're respected for the power of our economy and for the power of our military, we're admired, or were, for the power of our ideals. The fact that we, as former President Cheney said on television a week and a half ago, he said, we're less safe today because of our changes towards terror, how we approach torture and Guantanamo. My gosh. Less safe because we don't keep a person in a black hole in perpetuity forever and we torture them?
Yeah.
That makes us more safe.
Well, yeah, and how did it make us safe? I want to get your reaction to Lawrence Wilkerson's comments. He was, of course, Chief of Staff to Colin Powell. He said many detainees locked up there are innocent. He said there are still innocent people there. He said some have been there 6 or 7 years. He said they clearly had no connection to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. We're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Pakistanis turned over many for $5,000 a head.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you even a more personal example of that. I was on the ground in Afghanistan. I headed Navy's anti-terrorism unit right after 9/11. So I was there about 2 months after the war began for a short mission. When I was there, one of the places I had to go was a compound where we kept these detainees initially in Afghanistan. This one person was banging their head consistently against the wall. And I said, what's with him? As they finally put him in something similar to a straitjacket, he said, he's mentally ill. I said, where do they all come from?
Who said that about President Bush? Oh, I'm kidding, Congressman.
That's
sad.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
We took this person $5,000 bounty, put them in there, transfer them to Getmo, and now we're keeping them there because they're in limbo outside of the rule of law? No. These detainees that were innocent and that we kept them in that limbo is absolutely against our ideals that I fought for over 30 years.
And the problem, Congressman, is it's in all our name. It's in your name that we're doing that. I mean, nobody's going to deny there are some bad guys at Guantanamo, but you know, you're exactly right. We're the United States of America, and there are people there that are innocent.
You've got it. Look, I headed, as I said, the anti-terrorism unit. There's bad people there. Put them in Supermax.
Sure.
But when they're innocent, we have to remember that our men and women will go forward someday, and if they're captured, we should be able to demand the same type of treatment that we give others.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Listen, a quick question before you go, Congressman. Have you been invited back on Hannity's show after the ass-whipping you administered to him the last time you were on?
I haven't been back yet.
I thought not.
That was about my third or fourth time, but I go back, and it's interesting. I get asked to go on Fox a lot, not just by them, but by other, the administration or Speaker Pelosi, and I enjoy it. I enjoy that going back and forth, and I appreciate asking, because I'm going to call if we don't get back eventually. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it was hilarious, because Sean Hannity, as you know, it's like holding garlic up to a vampire when you bring facts on his show. He was screaming about something in the stimulus bill. You're like, no, Sean, no, not in there. No. It's like you were so calm, you were talking to a toddler. No, Sean, no, it's not in there. No,
said,
calm down, no.
Should have just said, Sean, everyone's entitled their own opinion, but not your own set of facts.
Exactly.
Thank you. Congressman Joe Sestak, one of our personal heroes, thanks for coming on with
us. Stephanie, always a pleasure. Have a great day.
You too, sir. There Bye-bye. He goes, from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
That's right.
43.
Oh, boy. And, of course, some of those innocent people in there weren't terrorists before. They might be now.
They didn't hate us before. Now they do.
They have good reason to.
Yeah. Now they're not so fond of us. 43 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the auto plan and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Nonstop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 48 minutes after the hour.
Who is there all the life?
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. That was Jim Ward on karaoke there. Where's your harmonica, mister? All right.
Which one? I have several different keys.
Oh.
Wow.
He pulled one out one day, remember? He suddenly was like that, yeah, the snowman in the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
When we were playing Missionary Man by the Eurythmics.
That just pulls the banjo out of
which is in B
pine tree.
Flat, I believe.
All right. So the President's big auto plan was announced yesterday. Oh, you were right. Rick Wagner.
Yes.
Who was,
you're fired.
Fired as the head of GM. Mm-hmm. He will leave with $20 million.
Yeah, that sounds like a golden parachute to me. Yeah.
Wowee. Under, how come when I have one of my disastrous TV shows canceled, I don't get some sort of bonus of some kind? Under his leadership, GM lost tens of billions of dollars, took billions in taxpayer-financed aid, and cut tens of thousands of jobs.
Great.
Good job.
Here's $20 million.
I've wrecked a lot of stuff. Why don't I get paid off for that?
You got yourself a nice house from your failed late-night talk show.
No, I didn't. I had a house.
Oh, okay.
For the show. Are you kidding me? I didn't get nothing.
No?
It was like Cinderella. They take everything back. They take the clothes. They took it. I didn't even get
really?
To keep. I didn't keep one shoe. They took the shoes back. Who's going to want my stinky shoes? They took the shoes.
And they took the Who Beast.
Yes. Cinderella got to keep
and
one
the Who shoe.
Shoe. Nothing. That's what I got. Nothing. All right. Representative Thaddeus McCotter.
Thaddeus McCotter,
yes. Well, welcome back, McCotter.
No.
I remember that. Republican of Michigan.
Yeah.
How many more jobs have to be lost for the administration to consider that a viable plan? How much more do the retirees have to sacrifice for the administration to consider that a viable plan?
He was a Republican.
Yeah, wait, wow. Was he standing up for workers? Huh? Wait.
Well, if he wants to be reelected in Michigan, I guess you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, the president did acknowledge, you know, how hard hit Michigan has been, and he made a point of saying it's obviously not the workers' fault; it's a failure of leadership in Washington and in Detroit. Tony Blankley on the Situation Room.
I think the line between the public sector and the private sector has become very murky, and I think the government needs to move carefully through this zone. The authority, I'm not sure what legal authority exists, for instance, to guarantee with the taxpayers' dollars warranties. Maybe that authority exists. Maybe it needs to be gained through legislation or regulation, but it's all a little vague.
But, by the way, once again, on the Republican side, what is their plan?
Mm-hmm.
What is their plan?
They have no plan.
Just whatever the president tries, they're just, you
must
know.
Must be wrong.
Exactly. Once again, it's not like the president wanted to do this. Again, this is another, like we said, exploding cherry bomb that George Bush left. You know, conveniently, he avoided them collapsing on his watch, and he kicked the can down the road. So now... I understand, because if GM goes bankrupt, the problem is, if people don't start buying these cars, mm-hmm. nothing's going to work. So his point is that he's trying to say, obviously, if companies go bankrupt, people are going to go, my warranty's not good, I'm not going to buy a car from GM, so he's trying to, guarantee that. I sounds like a plan to me, but... All right, Fred Barnes on the Brit Bear Show.
Look. He says, I don't want to operate GM, for instance, but look, he owns GM now, in effect. He kicked out the head of it. The White House will obviously have to approve whoever comes in to run the company. He's got his guy from the University of Maryland, some academic economist who's going to be handling the whole auto recovery. And then he's got tax subsidies to help sell GM cars. And we heard about the warranties, all that stuff. This is government intervention like we haven't seen very often. We've seen a little of it now.
So what is your friggin' plan?
Yeah. Tax cuts for rich people and even less regulation. Yeah, that'll fix it.
And let the entire auto industry go under while we're paying AIG guys bonuses.
Yep.
Look, and I'm not saying it's all Rick Wagner's fault, but, you know, I just said how much money they lost under how many jobs they lost. Time to try some new leadership, I think. Doesn't sound like they make it sound like that. That's such a radical idea. All right. Mary Catherine Hamm, she would be the Saturday Night Live character that smells her fingers, or no?
No, she's the factor internet expert that's become this rabid right-wing conservative blogger.
So that makes her an expert on the automotive industry
I don't know.
Mm. I think the scariest words in the English language are no longer "we're from the government, we're here to help." They are the United States government will now stand behind your warranties. Yikes! I can't think of anything that would make me want to buy GM less than that. But you know, this is kind of the creepy statism that you pay the price with when you get into these government bailouts.
It's creepy statism.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Creepy statism.
Okay.
That's a new one.
Time to go tweet. Kirk in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller
Show.
Go read Christopher Walken's tweet. Yeah. Hello, Kirk in Seattle. Hello, baby.
Mooks, how do? Anyway, so about the lovely GM CEO that walked away. No, it's not technically a golden parachute as we're used to hearing it. It's a combination of two employee retirement packages. One
right.
was the executive plan, and one was the general employee.
Right.
So that added together is $20 million. Not really the golden parachute of go away, nice to have you, see you later.
Yeah, yeah. All right, honey. Thank you.
I still think it's an excessive bonus.
Yeah.
For going away.
Yeah, I've never even gotten so much as a thank you for screwing something up myself. Okay.
What did they give you when you got fired from Pure Oxygen?
I got nothing.
Nothing.
I got a parachute that doesn't open. That's what I got.
What'd you get when you got fired from that dance station in New York?
That's my point.
You got a note from the syndicate signed by Milo Minderbinder.
I have screwed up a lot of things, and I have got nothing. Don't know what color my parachute is because it doesn't open.
Oh.
Okay, Hannity on the... Oh, boy. It's not just socialism now. It's radicalism.
Radicalism you can believe in, commander and CEO. Now, that's what we have tonight, folks. And who better to take charge of an industry in trouble than your federal government? The same people who spend $1 million a year on catfish genome research, but that's just the half of it.
He's screechy.
He has gotten really panicky, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Wow. Once again, the
president is doing stuff.
I'm sure he put forth his own cogent plan on the auto.
No, he didn't.
Hmm. Okay. Sean Hannity.
The administration is on a mission to hijack capitalism in favor of collectivism, to turn healthcare
Which
into
ism?
A nationalized affair, and to redistribute the wealth of America. The Bolsheviks have already arrived, and
Bolsheviks.
They're here. And what we're left with tonight is government running American business with your hard-earned tax dollars.
Ooh, there's a fox sting, too, because it's, Jim, it's the attack of the isms. The
Communism,
radicalism has...
Bolshevism, socialism, ism.
They've combined to hijack capitalism.
He really needs Alan Combs there to moderate him.
He needs some sort of moderating influence.
He really does.
I say Congressman Joe Sestak, who we just had on.
He should be regular.
He's very calming. He's like a child that keeps asking for pudding, and he needs someone there nightly to go, no, Sean, no.
No, Sean.
No, he just had pudding. No.
It's time to go to bed.
No. All right. And I frankly think he needs less.
No reading under the covers.
He needs less dick. More.
What it is he's deliberately making it fail. When he gets up there,
what?
Obama, and he says in December of this year, next
plan.
Year, Volcker is supposed to report on a sweeping overhaul of the tax code, and Geithner is proposing a sweeping overhaul of the regulatory structure. What businessman in his right mind is going to make an investment when he doesn't know the tax consequence and he doesn't know the regulatory consequence?
Okay, he also, I'm sure, put forward his own plan for the saving the auto industry. No? Okay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got nothing. Okay.
Nothing.
All right. Well, if you've got a better plan, we'd like to hear it. Seriously, I want to know. That's all I've heard is just a criticism of this plan.
Yep.
But, you know, the auto industry, like everything else in this country, is in kind of a hole. So, I'm not sure what else we do. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Tinsel Talk and much more on this as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sunshine, oh, and I feel good. Hey, I Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, that website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. StephanieMiller.com, of course, our favorite website.
Yes.
However, we are currently obsessed with...
Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris.
No, this is why you're fat.com.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And your favorite recipes today, because we have a bacon theme going through the show today. You put a bacon recipe up on your Twitter thing.
Yes, on the Twitter feed. It's maple slathered bacon. It's very good.
Yes.
And also, tempura fried cheesecake with whipped cream.
Mm.
Ooh. It's on thisiswhyyourfat.com. Mm-hmm. Also, there's Texas grilled cheese. Steakums, ham, turkey, french fries, cheddar, and provolone cheese, plus coleslaw, sandwiched between slices of butter-dipped Texas toast.
Oh. It just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
The show is veering wildly out of control this morning. It's mostly focused on TV show reunions we'd like to see, and thisiswhyyourfat.com.
Yes.
Okay.
And Christopher Watkins' blog.
Yes,
Twitter.
Jim will read again from Christopher Watkins' Twitter. Okay, it's his birthday today. He's 66.
Yes, happy birthday.
And I wonder if someone gave him a...
A watch. This watch. Okay. It didn't come in a box.
Where did it come from?
Straight out of my ass.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Five long years.
Okay, here is another one for thisiswhyyourfat.com. Monster burger containing 4,800 calories unveiled in the U.S. Wow-wee. The snack contains 5 beef patties, 5 slices of cheese, fries, chili, salsa, sour cream, and a bun made from a pound of dough.
How can something like that be considered a snack?
Oh, and I love this. It has lettuce and tomato.
Oh, well,
just because it makes it healthy.
It's healthy.
It's like people that order the Diet Coke with the 2 Big Macs.
They dragged it through the garden.
It would take about 10 years on the elliptical trainer to burn that off.
They're selling that at a baseball park in Michigan. They're daring fans to attempt to finish the burger, promising a free T-shirt to anyone who succeeds.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is why you're fat.
You'll need the T-shirt to clean up the barf.
You risk a heart attack, but you get a free T-shirt.
I got a T-shirt? Yay! Woo-hoo! All right, I've been pretty good at guessing, haven't I, who is a listener of this show? Based on their relative immaturity.
Okay.
I'm going to guess this teenager, Rory McInnes, is a he's a fan.
Mm.
He painted a 60-foot penis on his parents' roof. Inspired by all of the neat artwork on Google Earth. Oh, you know what would be great?
Now that
you can find Dick Cheney's house on Google Earth. Someone needs to paint a penis on Dick Cheney's house.
Although it's Joe Biden's house now.
Yeah.
No, his real house.
Oh.
Wherever he is. Where is he? Wyoming? Somewhere.
He lives in his underground lair.
Someone get on that.
There is no house. There's no house.
It went unnoticed for nearly a year until his parents, a helicopter pilot, apparently they have a bit of a cache.
Oh, I see.
Spotted it on the roof of their home. And he has been asked to remove it now. All right. Time for pervert stack. Police in Sweden say they've arrested a man accused of showering unwanted affection on at least 17 women. The man allegedly approached the women asking for road directions.
I was nowhere near Sweden.
The man allegedly approached him asking for road directions or advice on buying a present for a 10-year-old cousin or niece. When the women replied, he would give them enthusiastic hug, kiss them on the cheek, and then moan in their ear.
Oh.
Ew.
Ew.
The man said that was it was natural in his culture to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural in his culture to be a pervert. I was fine with it till the moaning.
It was fine to the moaning in the ear. Yeah, that's
creepy. All right. Okay, National Car Parks, that's in London, said it's looking into ways to replace the offending odors of Britain's parking lot with more pleasant smells for drivers. 1 in 3 respondents informed National Car Parks that they traditionally associate parking lot stairwells with the smell of urine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To which I ask, what's up with that? What's up with that, boys? Because you know that's not women. What? Why? Why in a stairwell?
In Santa Monica, it's homeless people that are doing that.
Okay.
All the parking garages.
But what about at the Burbank Airport? That parking structure.
That's...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Somewhere. In the bushes something. Why in a stairwell? That's all I'm asking.
Get some privacy.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. Until someone uses the stairs, and then it's not so private anymore. Okay. That was my What's Up With Men stack. Now my What's Up With Women stack. Women still have a complex and contradictory relationship with their own image, according to a poll released recently that showed 25% of those questioned would rather win America's Next Top Model than the Nobel Peace Prize. Although 75% of women surveyed said they'd be willing to shave their heads to save the life of a stranger, more than a quarter of those taking part admitted that they would make their best friend fat for life if it meant they could be thin.
That's funny!
Wow. Hypothetical life?
That's,
yeah, women are awful.
Wow.
That is probably true. Okay. All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we? Here we go.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, Angelina Jolie giving money to the Octomom? According to thesuperficial.com, Angelina Jolie might be donating money to her creepy doppelganger, the Octomom. Angelina is worried about the best interests of the kids, said a source. She doesn't necessarily approve of Nadia, and she doesn't want to turn the situation into even more of a circus. But that's the word.
Yeah, that's a clown car, and 8 fetuses will jump out.
Okay, we have Angelina's thoughts on this, I believe.
Motherhood is sacred. It is the highest calling a woman could have. I've been more fulfilled being a mother to my brood than any amount of Hollywood fame and fortune could ever bring me. Well, more than the fame. The money's off the hook. So in keeping with my dual interests of serious dough and serious dilation, I've decided to give the Octomom a helping hand. My donation to her will cover food, neonatal care, clothing, and shelter costs, so that she and her umpteen little rugrats don't have to sleep under a bridge somewhere. Yes, for all those things and one little teensy ancillary indulgence. But that, I mean, get some plastic surgery, for God's sakes. Yeah, I know you already did to look like me. That's the damn problem. 20 years of glamour, social consciousness, good parenting, and all of a sudden there you are, bogarting my lips and stealing my procreation mojo. Listen, honey, being a movie star isn't all it's cracked up to be. There's sweaty fans and your husband all in the same day. I'll confess not being sure whose kids are whose entirely, but I'm serious. You wouldn't like it. But if you're going to be a star, why don't you try Mary Tyler Moore? Please, please, just take the money already. Let's see. I know. You can be Diana Ross. I know. Just the guy to ask about it. Michael! Michael Jackson! Get over here!
I don't want to talk to that woman. She's devilish and freaky. Look at those lips. They give me the heebie-jeebies. Who would want to talk to someone with a deformed face? Don't answer that. Hee-hee-hee. And don't get me started on that area. Shamo!
Any other error?
No, exactly. Oh, boy. I don't know if that's collagen that makes you unable to say...
Any other error?
And finally, Liz Hurley and the Prince of Wales are launching a new range of modern, healthy, organic food.
What?
Okay. Liz Hurley and Prince Charles.
Hmm.
Launching apparently Charles' sustainable food company is to use produce from the actress's 400-acre organic farm in...
Gloucestershire.
Exactly. No. Where she breeds pigs.
I wanted to hear her just say Gloucestershire.
You can help.
Say it. Say it.
Gloucestershire. Where she breeds pigs, cows, and chickens. What's that, Chris? Do we have, some audio from...
One of the pigs. Has,
yeah, of course we do.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's all well and good that that skinny bit of crumpet Liz Hurley is running an organic farm. At least we're not being shot up with them antibiotics and hormones and such. The feed is marginally better than what we had before at them factory farms. At least there's very little danger of finding bits of snouts and hooves of your former compatriots in the feed. They may be pigs, but we're not cannibals. And the accommodations are certainly better. No tiny pens. We're more or less free to roam about. You might say we're as happy as a pig and, well, you know. Still, there's no getting around the fact that we're all going to be the bee in someone's BLT someday. And it's little comfort knowing that the mallets they use to bash our skulls in are made of organically sustainable, locally grown materials. At least during our short time on the planet, we're not being plagued by hormone-induced bitch teats. We've been spared that indignity. Talking of which, do you know how to make an hormone? Don't pair! Something the former Mr. Hurley, you Grant, knows something about.
Oh, you.
That's my time. Try the lamb. I'll be here all the week unless they turn me into sausage.
That's a funny pig.
Yeah.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week telling your friends Tinsel Talk today, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Napa, get the good stuff.
Hooray!
That's
by
not
which
necessary.
They mean 30 weight, not
yeah.
Cabernet.
Yeah, exactly.
Different Napa.
You know, odd, you should mention Diana Ross in your little bit. Here's a bit. Diana Ross apparently shops for her own groceries.
What?
There's a picture of it.
Lahara.
She shops at Bristol Farms.
Oh,
that's
oh,
expensive.
Well then.
If you're, well, people in L.A. know Bristol Farms.
She'd
I mean,
be embarrassed to be seen at the 99-cent store, but Bristol Farms
or the Mayfair Market.
Here she is sporting a giant weave, shopping at Bristol Farms. She was pushing her cart through the parking lot when Alexa seemed to get in her way, and she gave the driver a piece of her mind. She, well, you know what she
would
said.
Would you expect any less?
That's what she said.
Ha ha! All right. Brings the band with her, apparently.
It was like a scene from Mahogany. You're a loser! Nobody loves you!
Was she dripping candle wax all over her chest? Wow.
That's my favorite. Where's my theme from Mahogany? One of my favorite movies ever, Mahogany. Oh, the scene with Billy Dee Williams, the Nobody Loves You. You know what I'm talking about, Jim.
What?
You're a loser, Brian, that one.
I don't remember.
Nobody loves you. Oh, I thought somebody does. Well, nobody does. Nobody. Thank you. Thank you. But she really did. She was just saying that. She didn't know where she was going.
I think you might be the only person on Earth who's ever seen that movie.
I am not.
Seriously.
I remember someone did an interpreter dance to this song in my junior Miss pageant.
Oh, no.
Yeah. In 1970 Flurbin in Lockport, New York. Mm-hmm.
And didn't you do an interpretive dance of Torn Between Two Lovers in
same? No, that was a different skit.
Oh.
That was a high school skit. I did a comedy skit in the in the Junior Miss Pageant. Okay, let's go to Frank in Detroit on the auto bailout. Hey, Frank.
Hello, Mama.
Hey, baby.
Listen, they fired Rick Wagner yesterday, right? They
yes.
made him walk the plank. There's all this rigmarole about, you know, how much more do the workers have to pay. Rick Wagner's got $20 million waiting on him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if he gets canned. There are a whole lot of other people inside General Motors hierarchy that need to be canned.
Yep.
But the one constructive criticism I have heard is the same thing needs to happen to some of those bankers. And, you know, I really do agree with that.
Well, there's no doubt that they're being much tougher on the auto industries than on the banks. And, you know, there's some discussion as to why that the banks are obviously more intimately involved in the entire economy. But I don't know.
I mean, Rick Wagner's got $20 million waiting on him when he leaves. So why are we crying for him?
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be happy if I was a union guy today. You know, going, oh really? You know, these union contracts are, they're completely breakable, but not these bonuses that we pay the AIG guys, you know? I mean,
exactly.
There's no
more
way
heads,
to explain that double standard.
More heads need to roll at Citigroup. That's
yep.
what I
yep.
need
yep.
to
yep. Absolutely.
I hear you. Picking
we
up what you're
guillotines.
Putting down. 20 minutes after, Jim, the Stephanie Miller Show is not technically calling for guillotines for Citigroup.
Sure we are.
It's just one idea.
No.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Chris is doing his producing job.
24 minutes after the hour.
Talk, you dumb bitch, talk!
Yeah, where in what handbook does it say talk whore? 1-800-STEPH-12.
You know what? You hired me to be a producer, so I'm producing.
I would like a little bit of respect. Okay.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you treat me
like
I would be treated by any stranger on the street?
Mm-hmm.
Because I am not one of your fans.
Because of your acting.
Oh. I'm going to make you do the bearing wall line if you're not careful. All right.
Tear down that bitch of a bearing wall and put a window where it ought to be.
Mike in Chicago doesn't think we talk about real issues for some reason.
What?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, real issues like why do we still have the Patriot Act?
Ah. Okay. You're right. I haven't talked about that issue this morning.
It's not this morning. I mean, don't get me wrong, Stephanie. I'm not calling to attack you because I like you guys.
Okay.
But I'm trying to understand why nobody's talking about certain things. Like the G20.
Well, there's a lot going on. There's obviously the automaker deal has been a big topic this morning. I hear you on the Patriot Act, but the president has kind of a lot on his plate, don't you think?
Well, okay. All
and
right.
Also,
you're
8
right.
years of stuff needs to be undone. You know, the Patriot Act is a part of that.
And you're right. You're right. But why all these things that he's campaigned for? And, you know, I was very skeptical about him at first. But when I saw him do his inauguration, I was very hopeful. And I'm becoming less hopeful. And I just need to know why.
Why are you less hopeful? We're not even, what are we, 2 months in? Not even 3 months yet.
Because he needs to revert. He needs to get rid of that Patriot Act. That is so important to us.
Is that your only issue, though? Don't you think the economy is a little more front and center?
It's one of many.
Yep. All right. Don't give up. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. We don't talk about real issues. For God's sakes, it's Christopher Walken's 66th birthday, and here's Jim now to read his Twitter from
dining
today.
Dining on gazpacho, mm-hmm. or as the Portuguese say, gazpacho. Mm-hmm. As I sit here in bed, pondering my weary state, I think who would guess that Chris was feety pajamas? Last night I dreamt of puppies and the soft darkness that hides the future. From the overcurious.
Thank
first
you.
First the cookie. Oh. Oatmeal.
Oatmeal. That's what he had.
Oatmeal.
Okay, good. Don't talk about real issues. Who else is reading Christopher Walken's tweet this morning?
Something tells me that that's not really
no.
Christopher Walken.
No, especially the emphasis, you know, like in
Steve.
The way they wrote it.
Steve in Reno on the president. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I'd just like to talk about a minor issue that's about $100 billion a year, and that's the war on drugs. That came up the other day in this press conference about legalizing marijuana to make money,
mm-hmm.
and that's only one of several reasons. The main reason to end the war on drugs is it's a catastrophic failure.
Yeah. Yep.
The war on drugs kills far more people than drugs, and that fact alone is sufficient reason. It killed 700,000 people total in the United States, 17,000 people on average every year. We're now exporting murder, and almost 7,000 people in Mexico died in 2008. So the war on drugs kills more people than drugs. Prison also kills more people than drugs. One-third of prisoners are dead by age 45, and two-thirds are rearrested within 3 years. So that's a total failure.
Yep.
When you kill and rehabilitate the same number, it's incredible. You can't die from marijuana. It's the safest recreational over-the-counter prescription drug in history.
All right. Boy, people are obsessed with the whole drug legalization issue, aren't
people
they?
People have their issues.
The privatization of prisons is dovetails with the whole war on drugs thing.
28 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Why don't you dip yourself in flour and make a skank biscuit?
Good idea. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Been there, done that.
That would go well with maple-flavored bacon.
What doesn't go well with maple-flavored bacon?
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Olga in Seattle on healthcare. Hello, Olga. Welcome.
Hello, Stephanie. I'm Ursula's mother, the child with the glass eye. I just wanted to...
Oh, Ursula, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just had major surgery. And my husband is a retired Air Force colonel. We have full insurance, so forth and so on. So they were going to let me out early so that I could have home care come to the house. Well, it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I said, my, I better call and see who's going to come to the house. So I called, and the bottom line is they denied all home care. And I said, oh, really? Why? It's too expensive. And I said, well, then what do you suggest I do? Well, I don't know. We'll get back to you in 24 hours. In the meantime.
And it occurs to me that you, one normally has health insurance because things are too expensive to pay for. Yeah. So that's the point of having insurance, right?
There you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are this is a family. I have four children. Ursula being one. And I'm a mother of four. I have a giant Newfoundland, a cat.
You have a giant Newfoundland?
Yes, I do. Ooshie.
Ooshie.
I miss my Pooh Bear. Yeah. All right, honey. Well, good luck with that. Yeah, the president has really just a mess of ginormous problems. I'm not sure which is more important than the next, but healthcare is obviously a big one. And I'm just going to go out on a limb, Chris, and guess something.
What?
The Republicans aren't going to like his healthcare plan, whatever it is. They won't have one of their own, but they won't like that. That's for sure.
Because all they do is say no.
No, we don't.
Okay, John in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the auto plan. Hello, John.
Good morning. A quick idea to fix Detroit and the banks. Instead of giving billions, hundreds of billions to national banks, why not distribute the money to credit unions? Because number one, they can get it out in the hands of the public. And number two, they're less likely to engage in flummery.
Right.
And if you needed to go to a wider distribution beyond credit unions, go to banks that are not part of the Federal Reserve, because the Federal Reserve is composed of the banks that are engaged in the criminal behavior we've seen.
The aforementioned flummery.
Yeah.
John, you were the smartest boy in class today.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Right, bye-bye. Thank you. Goodbye. See, he was thrilled. He was trying to be cool.
You're giving out those awards again like Skittles.
Dan, they're about as valuable as Skittles.
I prefer Skittles, actually.
Dan in Minneapolis, here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephen gang. How you doing?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
Great. Well, I'm calling about the punned policeman that called in a few callers ago that was chastising you guys about the Patriot Act.
Oh, yes. We don't talk about the Patriot Act enough.
Right. Well, first of all, you guys have talked about that ad nauseum. No. I mean, not to denigrate you guys, but you guys have been great. But the thing is that you guys are drive time. We don't want to wake up to such sour news all the time. You
exactly.
Know?
So, you need slide whistle, for God's sakes. It's a morning show. Okay. Thank you. See? Made him giggle. Everything's better with slide whistle. See? Isn't the car plan better now?
The Patriot Act? That makes it all better.
Okay. Whee! Bailouts! Didn't it seem fun now? Okay, who wants more Dick Morris on Hannity?
When GM starts falling apart in 3 months, when the recession doesn't get any better in 3 months, when he proposes the health care stuff, when all of this happens, it's going to be on Obama's watch, and he's going to absolutely fall apart.
That seems patriotic, doesn't it? Didn't Rush Limbaugh go on record and now is saying if Obama fails, which he's hoping for, it means America wins?
That's right. Maybe Dick Morris should be tried and executed for treason.
Exactly. We could save money if we had the same trial for him
and
Michelle Bachmann
lamp oil
and Rush Limbaugh. You know,
we could
save on energy costs.
America would save money on its food budget if we executed Dick Morris.
All right. Speaking of Fox tools, Captain Phone Sex Bill O'Reilly has vowed to boycott Sean Penn's movies, insisting he can't watch the projects due to their conflicting political views. Once again, how very American of him, because he's an actor. See, but if you don't agree with him, you can't possibly. He said, I'm just not going to give a guy who gives aid and comfort to people like Ahmadinejad, Hugo Chavez, and Saddam Hussein.
Huh?
When he was alive.
Aid to Saddam Hussein?
I don't think he ever met
Yeah, you remember he tried to help him out of the spider hole when they were capturing him.
No, he was going into, I think he went, actually did go to Iraq before the Iraq War. In the interest of not having one.
Okay.
Plus, the guy played a homo!
Yes, he has been a part of humanizing homosexuality.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
why I won't see his movies.
That's right.
Humanizes homosexuals.
Yes. Can't do it.
I saw Milk over vacation. It was very, very good.
He's just an awesome actor.
Yes.
Between that and Dead Man Walking, and he's just
and
incredible.
Josh Brolin, again, batting 1,000. He's so great at making these really nasty figures, giving them some humanity. You know,
yes, like George W. Bush.
Exactly.
Yeah. And other mass murderers.
Actually see
Dan White.
Dan White.
Right. We actually see the charm that some people profess to see in George W. Bush when Josh Brolin is playing him.
Yeah, hate that. Okay. Speaking of irritating right-wing tools, John Cornyn, we mentioned this earlier. This is just, I think even a dumb move just politically to admit this, that he's fine if the Minnesota Senate race goes on for years, meaning leaving the Senate, the business of the American people, and Minnesota without a senator for years. He's fine with that.
Isn't disenfranchisement... like unconstitutional or something?
Or something.
Only when it happens to Republicans.
Oh, okay.
He is threatening World War III if Democrats try to seat Al Franken because, won that, if we try to seat him.
Just because he got more votes.
Yeah. Cornyn acknowledges a federal challenge to the election could take years to resolve, but he's adamant that Coleman deserves that chance. Yeah, this is really the most important thing in the country is Norm Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Even if it means Minnesota is short of a senator for the duration. Senator Chuck Schumer, who is in charge of Senate rules, says Minnesota gets its second senator as soon as the state case ends. He says whatever the state Supreme Court decides, as I understand it, the law requires it to be certified. But Cornyn believes Minnesota can't certify Franken if the winner, Coleman seeks review from the U.S. Supreme Court or files a new federal case. So this has yet to be.
I'm sure that's the case in Cornyn land.
Yeah. Yes, in the legal jurisdiction that is Cornyn land.
In the actual state of Minnesota, there are laws, you see.
Here's another sad state of the Republican Party story from Juan Kent, which is kind of funny.
Okay.
Not too long ago, some of the most coveted jobs in Washington lay in the Republican National Committee. Its employees went to work at noon, were fed peeled grapes by strapping young men in American flag-themed loincloths, dined on baby whale steaks with the world's most creative and decadent war criminals, and then rode home on gold-plated dildos at 4 p.m. sharp. But now, under the leadership of Michael Steele, RNC gigs have gotten so depressing that longtime employees are leaving.
Oh, to see Michael Steele the other day. That's why, you know, he would be jealous of him. Why would I be jealous of that guy?
What?
Because he's the president.
He's president of the United
States. Yeah, well, I'm head of the RNC. Same thing.
I know. He like that was equivalent. Oh, okay.
He's really adult, isn't he?
Yes. Okay, Fred in Orange County on the auto bailout. Hey, Fred, welcome.
Hey, about all the so-called outrage about the so-called firing of the CEO of GM, where were they, all those wrong-wing talking heads, when district attorneys were fired during the Bush administration all over the country?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for another.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
They needed to be fired, Jim, because they were Democrats.
Well, no, they were a lot were Republicans, but they weren't going after Democrats hard enough for Karl Rove's taste.
Yes, Ray in Fort Lauderdale on the former President Bush. Hello, Ray.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I have a simple question that's been a topic of heated discussion at work. And I like the way you guys talk around each other. What would the world, if not America, be like had Gore won in 2000 if
Bush? God.
Ugh.
Yeah, well.
That's too depressing to even think about.
It's a Blunderful Life.
That's right, the Jim Ward classic. Can you find that on the Jim Ward website?
Well, we were supposed to have that done, but it's
You're kind of neglecting Apocryphal
True,
aren't you?
Yeah.
But it's getting the same neglect the Stephanie Miller Show does now. All right.
But the Stephanie Miller Show now has a Twitter.
Buddy in Columbus on O'Reilly. Hello, Buddy.
Yes, I've got the one feel-good story that you guys haven't touched.
Oh, can I have my feel-good music, please? Yes, thank you. The feel-good story of the day.
UPS dumped Bill O'Reilly as a sponsor.
No.
They finally just had enough of it. When Bill O'Reilly suggested that Cheney should use his assassination squad to kill Keith Olbermann and Cy Hirsch, and then he said, then he sent some reporters stalking some other woman who wrote an article that was against him, you know, followed her a couple hundred miles.
Yes.
They said, that's enough.
Yes.
So everybody should go and send something UPS.
There you go. Thank you, buddy.
Like a big box of dog poo to Bill O'Reilly's house.
Yeah. No. Oh, no.
There, but for the grace of God, go we, though.
That's true. I mean,
Geraldo still wants to touch his packages.
I'm not sure there isn't a domestic component to Dick Cheney's assassination squads. I think that's something that needs to be looked into.
Ah! Well, there's a little tidbit to drop before the break. 43 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm starting to wonder if we've crossed a line here.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Play this in a day. I don't have my E flat harmonica with me.
Well, damn you, Chris.
I usually don't plan these things a day in advance. I'm sorry.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes
clearly
after the hour.
I always have to have my E flat harmonica with me.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kevin in D.C. on TV reunions. Hi, Kev.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Good morning, baby.
Hope your vacation treated you well.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Excellent.
I was actually, as you know, I was touched many times while I was naked by strangers, and that, what better vacation is there?
Oh, as Johnny caused me to say, I did not know that, actually.
I did. I went to Borrego Ranch and Resort. Is there a banner ad up at StephanieMiller.com?
There certainly is.
Oh, I highly recommend
it. It's a lovely place, and there's a bunch of pictures of you, well, clothed, in the gallery section at StephanieMiller.com.
Wait, slow back. You said there's a picture of this stuff?
Yes, in the gallery section.
Not the naked part, sorry.
Oh, well, my imagination will do the rest, but anyway.
We're making a pay session, for that.
Okay. Well, I will not say what I had in the thought bubble and simply go on to the topic.
Thank you. I think that's best.
Reunion shows. My first show is a tie between Get Christy Love. I've always been bitter that the year that came out, both her and Angie Dickinson's Policewoman came out. Mm. And apparently American was ready for a white woman to kick butt, but not a black one.
Oh.
Yes.
She was tall and lean and had the most perfect afro ever, and that really appealed me to this day.
I think it's healthy that you've never let go of that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that dream.
Steph used to have an afro.
What?
I did.
Yes, she did.
Oh, I've got to see that. Well, I always said that I always said that to have a butt like that, you have to have some black in you. But
thank
anyway.
You. Why, thank you, Kevin.
The other
Not,
show,
would you
that's
like
exactly some? That's exactly what my Republican mother said when she gave me the afro. It was a home perm.
Well, the other shows are Homicide.
Oh, you want to see the reunion?
Yeah, in fact, I met the guy that played this big drug dealer, Ron Dunlap, at a party, and the guy's like 20 feet tall.
Wow. Thank you for that very interesting fun fact. All right, Kevin, thank you for helping us get the show further off track. We appreciate that. Jimmy Fallon started this. He was trying to get a Saved by the Bell reunion together, so we were trying to think of what reunions we would like to see here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jimmy Fallon has one person already committed to the reunion.
Who's that?
Mr. Belding.
Oh,
thank
well.
God. Who? He was the principal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure. Uh-huh. Okay, then.
Y'all are too old to have watched Saved by the Bell.
Wow, we. Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, if you can't do a Courtship of Eddie's Father reunion, then there's no point in anything anymore.
Well, two-thirds of the cast is dead.
Yes. That's how you know you're old. There can't be reunions of any of my favorite shows. They're all dead.
Brandon Cruz, who played Eddie, is still alive,
uh-huh. though. And somebody thinks that Jodie Foster played a neighbor on that show, on the one episode or something.
I think she was the neighbor in Family Affair.
Oh.
No, I think
no?
that's incorrect.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. Senator Judd Gregg, Republican of New Hampshire on the budget.
This is the wall of debt. This is what the federal debt does over the period of the Obama budget.
Oh, he has a chart.
Mm-hmm.
Goes straight up. Massive wall of debt, which is an incredible burden on our nation. And really an unacceptable burden if you're going to be accurate about it.
Oh, I see. So after Boehner released his budget that had no numbers in it, they figured they should bring props at least.
Yeah.
So he had like a cardboard thing with the thing going straight up?
Yep.
Here's a chart with it goes up. It's got numbers and stuff.
Yes,
it's bad.
That's because the point of a spending bill, you see, is we need to spend now to get out of this giant hole that the Bush administration has dug. Okay, Senator Kent Conrad, a Democrat of North Dakota.
I just hope that in this debate, we don't try to lay at this president's desk, who has been in office less than 3 months, the disasters he inherited. Yeah. No, no, no. We're not going to let that. That is not going to go unconfronted, because that's not fair.
Thank you. Okay. All righty. Can I have you tiny violin for another sad state of the Republican Party story?
Another one? We've been chock-a-block with them this morning.
A seemingly unending series of public relations gaffes has Sarah Palin loyalists. Are there some of those still? Frustrated and worried, she is diminishing her stature. Oh, no.
Wow.
How is that possible?
Well, she took off the red pumps, so that diminished her
stature.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah.
And they blame an inner circle they say is composed of not-ready-for-primetime players, who I would assume would have been hired by, Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
More of her fabulous executive ability she's demonstrated thus far. Interviews with Alaska and Washington based Republican political professionals who are familiar with the Palin operation describe the governor's team as a gang that can't shoot straight, a staff whose failure to execute basic political maneuvers too often entangles the governor in awkward and embarrassing situations that could easily have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
And she's normally good at doing that all by herself just by, you know, opening her mouth.
Yeah.
Also, too. The state of confusion is compounded by two separate Palin spheres that don't communicate with each other, one based in the governor's office and another based in the D.C. area where Palin's political action committee is located, SERPAC. And also, I think she's getting bad advice from Greta Van Susteren, who she has an oddly close relationship with. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, that is really, really strange.
Like the best of friends. Okay, let's go to Tina in Long Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on TV Reunions. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Steph. Okay, also, too, I would like to see Family with Christy McNichols.
Family. Oh, yeah, and who's the mother? Maureen somebody. Stapleton.
No.
Right.
It wasn't Maureen Stapleton. I think it was Michael Learned or something like that.
No, it was still a Maureen. Wasn't it, Tina?
Sullivan.
All right, Tina, that's an odd reunion you want to see.
Yeah, well, it's an old one.
Okay, thank you. Family? That's kind of random.
Was Willie Ames in that? Or am I confusing that with Eight is Enough?
Yes, Eight is Enough. Eight is Enough was the one where all the girls lived at home until they were like 40.
Yes. All the boys did.
Every dad's dream.
The daughter that was supposed to be like 18 looked like 47. Yeah. Okay. could I have some fine American music, please? You know, one of the stories that broke while we were on vacation, you know who we love? We love us some Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yes, we do.
Who has been on this show a number of times. And may I just say, I was very relieved when we became on the same team, because you don't want to debate her. When she was on Team Hillary and I was on Team Obama, we were on, you know.
It got a little uncomfortable.
We had some fisticuffs. However, I don't know if you saw this press conference, but so she has had cancer this whole time and didn't tell anybody. She's been fighting cancer through the whole primary and whatever. She didn't cry in Good Morning America. She didn't cry when she talked to the local press. But when she was surrounded by a sisterhood of other breast cancer survivors, she stood looking vulnerable and human. Someone like a typical member of Congress at a lectern on the small Capitol dining room and broke down repeatedly. How could she not? She was telling a room full of reporters and other strangers about having her breasts and ovaries removed.
It is
a remarkable story that hardly anybody in Washington knew about it until just a few days ago. She is, of course, a rising star in her party. She was there to announce legislation for a national campaign to educate the public, particularly young women and their doctors, about the need for a much earlier approach to breast cancer detection. She's young. She's only 42.
Yep. Wow. Younger than you.
Was that necessary in the midst of this touching story?
Sorry.
Other cancer survivors, some in their 30s, came to the Hill to ring the alarm, to applaud Wasserman Schultz for going public and to cry with her. There were other congresswomen crying there. It was extraordinary. She kept her illness private while campaigning for re-election and stumping nationwide for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. She didn't want the illness to define her. She said most of her staff didn't even know about her condition. And she has, little kids and everything.
Oh,
so
God.
We say, it looks like, knock on wood, everything is good. So we wish her all the best. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's she's a great congresswoman, too,
yes.
I must say. All right, let's go to Judy in Fort Lauderdale, speaking of Florida.
Hey, Mama and Mook.
Hello, honey. Go ahead.
Listen, I want to be the official expert on the family TV series for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you. Please, could we have the fun facts? Go ahead.
Okay, the fun facts are the mother was played by Seda Thompson.
Oh. Seda Thompson. That's what I meant, Maureen, who was also known as Seda Thompson.
Yeah, right.
Shut up.
Exactly, same type. Mm-hmm. And the dad was James Broderick.
Matthew
Broderick's son. But
that's right.
Matthew Broderick's dad, yep.
Yeah, there can be no reunion because he has long since passed away.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Oh,
and Willie Ames definitely wasn't. He played a friend of Buddy.
I told you so.
Uh-huh. What do you know?
J'accuse.
All right. Thank you. Hey, a lot of people say that Thompson's nickname was Maureen Stapleton. A lot of people know that.
And Willie Ames was in everything in the 70s.
Exactly. Yeah. So you could hardly be wrong. That's all for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Baker. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.